series this year we're going to begin with, and the theme for this year is going to be sufficient, is what it is. And the reason why I've gone with this and prayed over this is because I do believe that Jesus Christ is all that we need to make it through this world. I believe that He'll provide what is necessary in your life or the life of anyone else that trusts in Him. And this morning, we're going to have the introduction to our theme. But for the next few months, every message, each one of these messages will stand alone, of course, but they'll all fit into our theme. And you'll see where Jesus Christ, everything from He's our foundation to He's our bread of life, and the list goes on and on and on of all the things the Bible tells us that He is to us and what He provides and how really we need nothing else. God will provide all that is necessary for us to live down here on earth as far as our spiritual life for the Lord. And so this morning, that leads me right into our message. This morning, as far as our theme, sufficient, once again, we'll have online, you'll see the pictures of each month that just kind of remind you. We'd like to put reminders out there to remind you of our theme, and throughout the year we'll talk about it, but primarily it's going to be in the preaching hour. But sufficient leads me right into our sermon this morning, the introduction to our series. The title of this morning's message is simply Jesus Christ and the Believer. Jesus Christ and the Believer. We're going to begin over in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, if you want to make your way over there. But as far as sufficient, you know, the Bible, I think, lets us know that Jesus Christ, as it's put in the Corinthians, He's our all in all. He's everything that we might need in this world today. Now, I don't know about you, but it can be overwhelming in this world. It is easy just to have that feeling of, wow, can I get through this situation? Can I get through this trial? Can I get through this day? What's going to happen next? It's easy to be overwhelmed. How about with decisions? You know, life is filled with decisions, personal decisions, financial decisions, career decisions, decisions as far as the church or serving the Lord. You know, life is filled with decisions, and it's easy to become overwhelmed as we live and make those decisions. How about with temptations? Now, that's a whole new ballgame right there. You know, temptations are all around us. They are. Now, I'll tell you this, sin has not changed. I don't believe sin is any different than in any generation. I believe sin is sin before God, but I believe it's packaged differently. You know, the devil, Bible tells us that he's cunning. Bible tells us that we need to beware. He's like a roaring lion, you know, seeking whom he may devour. You know, the devil, I believe, in each generation will package sin differently, make it appear to be good or all right. And so temptations are out there in our world. And I think sin, even in, I guess, say 2014, sin is prevalent today in our society. You know, some sins are considered acceptable and some are even promoted. As believers, we just need to understand that the temptations are there. And sometimes that can be overwhelming. And we need to be aware at all times. How about with advice? That can be overwhelming too. What I mean by that is there's an endless amount of material on how to live for God. If you doubt that, go down to one of your local either bookstores or Christian bookstores. Look up the Christian section. They're filled with all sorts of books and self-helps and all sorts of things on how to live for God. And sometimes advice can be overwhelming. Well, which book should I read? Should I read this book? Should I go here and do that? You know, you can take your pick. All different flavors of books on different things. And this morning, I'm not to ridicule those books. You can find good things in books. But as you'll see here in a minute, I don't think those are necessarily needed. Let's put it this way. If something is going to be sacrificed, don't sacrifice the Word of God. Sacrifice someone else's writing. Set that aside and read your Bible. Now, of course, you got to be careful because there are a lot of bad books out there, too, that go contrary to God's Word. But what I'm saying this morning is there is all sorts of places we can turn to for advice as believers, and we can become overwhelmed. You know, it was not until the 1400s that Gutenberg began what is known as movable printing. In other words, the printing press is when he began that. And it wasn't until the 1800s that the industrial presses came along. And basically today we have, you know, as far as the result of those industrial presses, you can go and print books by the thousands, by the billions even. You know, I've often wondered, how about those poor believers before Gutenberg came along? Now, I'm just being sarcastic this morning, but think about that. How could they live without all the books we have? All these 10, 20, 30, 40-day journeys, you pick, take your pick, six-month journeys, whatever you want to pick, whatever you want to focus on. How did all those believers get by before that? You know, in 2008, and this is according to the magazine Psychology Today, in 2008, there were 4,000 books published on happiness. You go back to the year 2000, and there were only 50 books published on happiness. I think it tells us something. People are looking for answers. I tell you what, as we're going to see, not only this morning, but I think over the next few months, that Jesus Christ provides those answers. Now, there's nothing wrong with reading a good book, but the answers are here. Jesus Christ. You see, this year, beginning today, right now, this morning, I hope that we, each one of us, that we see in God's Word that Jesus Christ is all that the believer needs to live a correct life here on earth. Jesus Christ is sufficient. Nothing else is needed for contentment. Nothing else is required for peace or for joy, for happiness, for strength, for power. Jesus Christ is sufficient. We just need to trust in Him. That takes us to Romans chapter 10. This is where I want to start this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 12. Actually, let's go back to verse 9 and just get a little bit of a context. He says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all, notice this, is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning we're going to look at an introduction to sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Dear Lord, I thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings. Please, Lord, help us as we go through the rest of this message. Help us to focus on Your Word. Lord, I pray that we're able to see that You've provided all of our needs. Bless not only this service, but also, Lord, the services in the future as we continue to look at how good You are to us. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to talk first about Jesus Christ's salvation that He offers. This is where it begins, right here. Notice in verse 12, He says, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. This morning, I believe it's safe to say, according to God's Word, that all are sinners in need and salvation. All of us. We are all sinners before God. Now, you know, some people talk about everyone being created equal. I think there are some limitations to that term. What I mean by that is, you know, I'll give you an illustration of this. I grew up playing basketball. I wasn't very good at basketball, but I played basketball with my brothers and my friends. I enjoyed it. Now, I'm not saying that with a little bit of hard work that I couldn't have been good. I don't know. I wasn't, of course, no talent. But I'll tell you this. I could have worked all day long. I could have practiced. I could have went out and shot. I highly doubt that I'd still be able to play center for the Los Angeles Lakers or any other professional team right now. I happen to be about 5, I can stretch it, say 5, 8, 9, 10, right around there. Those guys are a little bit taller. God allowed them to have that. See, we're not all created equal physically. I mean, you look around, that's just part of life. How about mentally? You know, there are some people that God has gifted with the ability, some mental powers up there. I mean, they can look at numbers and not only remember them, but they can figure out things just like in a flash. Not everybody's like that. But I'm not saying that to discourage us. We're different. God has made us different on purpose. You know, we all have strengths. We all have gifts and talents and abilities. But we are all equal before God when it comes to sin. We all have a sinful condition, according to the book of Romans. We've all sinned before God. We all need His forgiveness. You see, that's what the Bible teaches. Yes, we're all different. We have different backgrounds, different skills, different talents, different abilities. But we all need God's forgiveness to be saved. You see, all sinners are in need of salvation. The Jews, now you think about the Jews here. They had preeminence, at least in their minds, because they had the law. They were God's chosen nation. And here, Paul tells them, no, yes, you have all that, but guess what? The Greeks are equal to you when it comes to salvation. It's the same thing. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know, this morning, each one that is saved by Jesus Christ. We're not saved a different way. We're not saved. You know, it's not like it's a different salvation for someone who lives in a different nation. Our missionaries this morning across the nation or across this world are preaching salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Salvation by grace and through faith in Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is the same for someone on the other side of the world as it is for you here this morning. As it says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, "For there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." You see, there's one mediator. There was one sacrifice. There was one atonement. There was one Savior who arose on the third day from the grave. There is one salvation. If you're saved here this morning, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. You're saved by grace and through faith. And if you're saved, you're no more saved than the person sitting next to you. It doesn't matter how long you've been saved. Someone can be saved 5 minutes. Someone else can be saved 50 years. You're saved. You're saved. You see, that's the great blessings that Jesus Christ offers. And according to Romans 10:13, as we've just read, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Now, there are two things I want to draw your attention to real quick before we move on. First, it doesn't say that everyone that is created will be saved. You know, that's a false teaching going around today. Oh, God is just going to save everybody. Just go ahead and live life, enjoy it. You're going to end up in heaven. I don't think so. Bible doesn't teach that. You know, actually, there are a lot of people that have rejected Christ, want nothing to do with them. You're going to tell me they're going to end up in heaven? They don't even want to be there themselves. You see, it's for those that call upon the name of the Lord. Those are the ones that receive His salvation. Also, you know, you think of those that cry out. Just because you pray or cry out to God doesn't mean you're saved. You got to trust in Christ as your Savior. You see, all are rich in Jesus Christ. Because it says here, "Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him." Now this morning, this is where the relationship with God begins. Now, up to this point, the individual who was lost has lived in sin. Now some were religious. Some did good, some did right. And then you have others that maybe knew nothing about God. Then you got some who probably lived in terrible sins. But if they trust in Christ as their Savior, they repent of their sin and call upon the name of the Lord, they're saved. Their sins are forgiven. They're given a new life, and they've been changed. 2 Corinthians 5 tells us that. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ," what's it say? "He's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." This morning, if you're saved, the Bible tells us that you are a new creature, a new creation. You've been given a new life. And I believe that new life will look to God and love God. So those that are saved, they receive forgiveness. They receive eternal life. They are given the Spirit to dwell and guide and direct them. And I think that each one of us possess all that comes with salvation. What I mean by that is, you know, once you're saved, God doesn't say, "Well, I'm going to give you this many blessings as far as salvation is concerned. And this person over here, well, they can't talk to God the Father yet until they've been saved for a couple years." No, the Bible says we receive all those blessings that come with salvation instantly. You see, God is rich unto all those that call upon Him. Now, this is the beginning. I hope and pray everyone here is saved. Hope and pray you've trusted in Christ as your Savior. You know, this morning, if you have not, then really nothing else really matters from this point on as far as the sermon's concerned. You need to get that settled. And you need to put your faith in Jesus Christ and believe on Him for salvation. But now let's move on. I'm going to give you some other thoughts here this morning as far as the introduction is concerned. Now, the rest of our messages will probably be more expository. This one being an introduction, I want to try to lay the groundwork for the rest of the series. But after salvation, how is the believer to live? You ever thought about that? Now, if you're saved, you probably should have thought about that a little bit. After you're saved, how are you to live before God? First, you know, someone who is saved cannot continue in their previous ways, or they should not continue in their previous ways. Why? Because you've been changed. That's what the Bible tells us. Now, if somebody is saved, or they say they're saved, and then next thing you know, you see them just living in the world as they used to without any conviction at all, no big deal. I don't question God's power to save, I question their sincerity. Maybe they didn't mean it. You know, anybody can say words. Maybe they didn't mean it from the heart when they repented and trusted in Christ. You see, when a believer is saved, or when a person is saved, they're changed. So, we cannot go back into our old ways. Secondly, I think we all realize we cannot live for God in our own power and strength. You know, I know when I was younger and I was saved, I remember when I trusted in Christ as my Savior, for a while there, I thought, man, it's going to be easy. Being Christian is not so tough or difficult. Now, of course, I eat those words now because it is difficult being a Christian. Temptations are out there. There's trials, there are tests. It's a test just being a believer today, saying you're a believer. You get mocked, you can be laughed at. In some nations, you can be persecuted for being a believer. You see, this morning, we don't have the strength to get through that on our own. That's the dilemma we're in. We can't go back to our old ways. If we try to live in the new ways with our strength and our power, then guess what? We're going to fail. We're going to have difficult times. You know what some have resorted to because of this? Some have resorted to making rules and laws. You know, there are some churches that have done this. They put all these laws out there almost as if someone's saved and they give them a piece of paper and say, well, you got to now do this. I'll tell you what, by the way, when someone is saved here and the Lord has blessed us, we've seen souls saved. I don't give them a list as a pastor and say, you got to do this. If they don't have a Bible, we give them a Bible. Now begin reading God's Word. You know, the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that dwells within my heart and that dwells within your heart will begin to work in their heart. And they'll be able to live for God. You see, that's the freedom that comes with being saved. We don't need all these rules and regulations placed down upon us. We need to read the Word of God and then begin to apply it. And God's law and God's rules will begin to take effect. But we don't need man-made laws, you know. But that's what some have done to try to get people to go the right direction instead of just letting God work. And secondly, I think another thing that's been done, not only some have begun making laws, I think some have realized how, I guess you say, impossible it is. So instead of making laws, what they do is they begin just to print books and try to encourage people from one Sunday to another. If I just get them through this Sunday, then come back, get them through the next one, get them through the... Now it's good. We should meet on Sundays and we should be encouraged. And there's nothing wrong with good books. But I'm going to tell you, there's a lot more to life as a believer than that. If that's all it was, then no wonder. And I'm going to say this. No wonder Christianity is dying. No wonder churches are shrinking instead of growing. Because if that's what Christianity is, I wouldn't want any part of that. But the Bible tells us it's different. That Jesus Christ does provide the power required to live a life for Him. Now this morning, I'm going to read some verses and give you some things to think on. So how is the believer to continue? You know, we trust Christ at salvation. That's where it begins. But that's not where it ends. Here's the first verse. John 15:5. Jesus said this, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Did you hear that last part? Now, we don't like limitations. We're Americans. We can do anything we want. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Now, think about that for a minute. Let that sink in for a little bit. Now, Jesus wasn't saying this to belittle anybody. He was saying this because it's the truth. Without Him, we cannot overcome sin and temptation and defeat the devil, even after we're saved. Without Him, we can't please God with a life because we're going to make mistakes. We need the power of Jesus Christ. Here's my next one. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Now, some of you have that memorized. Maybe all of you have that memorized. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Do you believe that this morning? Do you really believe that? That you can do all things through Christ? Not just some things. Not a few things. Not some things on maybe Sunday or Monday or Tuesday. All things through Christ which strengtheneth you. It's easy to say we believe it. Do we practice it? Here's the next one. Philippians 4:19. You find it later in the same passage in Philippians 4. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now I know in this book, he's talking to the church there, and he's talking about the being supplied as far as because they gave and God would bless. But I do believe that the general application of this is that God will supply our needs through Jesus Christ. Now, do you believe that? Do you believe that God is able to provide your needs? How about your physical needs, your spiritual needs, and your emotional needs? The Bible says He can and will. Do you believe it to be true? You know, it is possible to know something, but not apply it. I'm going to give you an example of this. You may get in your car this afternoon, get ready to go on home, and you look, and maybe on your speedometer. Now, each car is different, but your speedometer may go up into the hundreds. Have you tested it? I see a few smiles. I think some may have tried it. The knowledge is there, but You may not know if you've never tested it. The same can happen with Jesus Christ. You're saved. You believe what these verses say. But have you applied them to your life, to your prayer life, to your personal life? Every single day. See, that's what Jesus wants us to do. And that leads me in to really, here I got two thoughts I'm going to give you in our introduction. First one, or two things I want you to consider, I guess. First, Jesus Christ's ability. Can Jesus Christ really provide everything that you require in life? Can he really provide it? You know, the answer to that is either yes or no. He says he will. Bible says so. So if you're going to answer that personally, it's either yes or no. He either can or he cannot provide your needs in life. Now let's test this for a moment. Let's test this with the scriptures. You know, Jesus Christ's ministry provided proof of his deity. That's what it did. He was born, the Bible tells us, of a virgin. He was born in Bethlehem there. He was raised up there, and he lived. And eventually he began his ministry on earth, about 3.5 years. And in that ministry, he provided proof of his deity. And basically it consisted of two areas. First one was basically an example of how to live. Today we know how to live because we see his example. But secondly, his ministry provided evidence of who he was. That he was the Son of God. That he was God in the flesh. Now how he did this primarily was through his teachings and his miracles. You see, when you read the Gospels, you find teachings that were contrary or different than many had taught before. There were teachings that focused on God and focused on Jesus Christ as being mediator between God and men. And then, as far as his miracles, they provided proof, not only of his deity, but I believe they provided proof to us today that Jesus Christ can provide all of our needs. Now think about the miracles of Christ. We're going through them on Wednesday night, so I'm not going to go through them this morning. But I want you to think on this. We have 33 recorded miracles. Now those are not all the miracles Jesus Christ performed. There were some situations in the Gospels where we see he performed like a multitude of miracles in one day or one evening. But as far as the details, we have 33 recorded miracles. You know, when you begin to break those down, you know what's interesting? Three of those miracles concerned death, or bringing someone back or giving them life. Four concerned evil spirits, casting out evil spirits and dealing with evil spirits. Nine dealt with nature, power over nature, whether it be the storm or creating bread and providing food. And then 17 dealt with health issues. You know what I think is interesting as far as the miracles of Christ that we have recorded? You began to look at those and you began to realize that Jesus left proof of his ability to provide our needs, to take care of our situation here on earth. Now, without a doubt, Jesus was sufficient in each case. What I mean by that is the miracles were complete and nothing else was required. I like to say, especially the ones where he healed. You know, when Jesus healed an individual, whether it be his eyes or his legs or any other health issue, he sent them away and he didn't say, check back with me in 2 weeks. Now, I know doctors today have to say that's just part of it. But Jesus Christ, when he healed them, they were able to move on and able to go. See, he was sufficient. And everything was done by his power and his strength. You know, health was the one he dealt with the most. Maybe that's to remind us here on earth as believers, or to encourage us that God has control of our personal life. I think each one of us, if we live long enough, we'll deal with health problems. You know, Jesus healed all sorts of illnesses, all sorts of diseases. In one case, Luke chapter 13, I'll just point something out to you real quick. In one case, because I think it's good to see Luke chapter 13, he dealt with a woman who was stooped over, couldn't straighten herself out, her back. But notice what it says here, Luke chapter 13, and it says there, verse 10, and he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman which had a spirit of infirmity 18 years, was bowed together and could in no wise lift up herself. This morning, time doesn't permit me to go into that phrase there, or that word that is translated spirit of infirmity, but I will tell you this, it was a mental problem, is what it was. A spirit of infirmity. You see, Jesus can not only heal our physical bodies, but he can take care of our mental issues as well. And I'm not saying people are crazy. Well, some days, depends on what day it is and you're driving out on the road. But, you know, we are emotional beings. God has made us emotional. God can provide the peace and the contentment that's needed to take care of that. You see, whatever your illness is, if you have one right now, God can heal it, whatever it is, if he chooses to. Or he can give you strength to endure. That's what he chose to do with the Apostle Paul, by the way. Remember the Apostle Paul had that thorn in the flesh and he asked God three times for it to be removed, and what was the conclusion? That God wasn't going to take it away, but he'd provide the grace to get through it. This morning, God may not take an illness away from you, but he may provide the strength instead of taking it away. He said, I'm just going to give you the strength to get through it. And who knows, that illness may be there for a reason. Maybe it's there to keep us humble, keep us on track so we serve the Lord. I was reading the story, Charles Spurgeon used to tell a story about a rancher who had a horse. And Charles Spurgeon used to always go by and said one day he saw this beautiful horse sitting there and the horse was clogged so it couldn't go anywhere. And Charles Spurgeon said he looked at the man and said, you know, that's a beautiful horse. It's a shame you keep him clogged like that. And he said, the man looked and he said, well, if I didn't, he goes, I'd either lose him or he'd die. He goes, he has a habit of jumping and running and leaving. He goes, so keeping him clogged, I keep him here, keep him safe, and keep him useful. We may not like to hear that, but perhaps that's why God allows trials into our lives sometimes. Maybe it keeps us humble, keeps us from going off in a direction that we shouldn't go, and keeps us serving him, keeps us faithful. You see, God knows you better than you know yourself. You talk about being sufficient. God can provide everything you need because he made you. He created you. He knows how you tick. He knows what you want. He knows your fears. He knows everything about you. God is sufficient. You know, Jesus Christ is able to provide our needs, able to give us, I think, what we need in life. You see, the question really isn't his ability. His ability's there. Here's the second question. Is he willing to provide our needs? You see, that is a legitimate question that we need to examine this morning real quick. Is he willing to provide our needs? You know, there's a big difference between ability and willingness. We find that in the New Testament with the parable of the Samaritan. Remember that man that was beaten? The Bible tells us a priest and a Levite passed by, looked upon this beaten man and did nothing. Both those men were able to help that man, but they didn't. And then a Samaritan came along, looked down, saw this man. He was able, but he was willing to help. You see, Jesus Christ, I believe, is not only able, but he's willing to help us out. You see, first, how about Jesus Christ's presence? You know, the fact that he came to earth speaks volumes. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, actions speak louder than words. Have you ever heard that? Maybe you've said that before. Actions speak louder than words. You can tell someone you care about them, you love them, or so forth, but if you're never around, if you never show that or display that, then it may not be there. Jesus Christ, I believe, just the fact that he came down to earth displays that he cared for us. He was here. He came to die in our place so we could be saved. And he did this willingly. The Bible tells us that he laid down his life. It wasn't taken from him. He laid it down willingly. That alone tells us that Jesus does care, that he's willing to save those that come to him. But secondly, according to Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, it says that he continues to make intercession for us. You see, Jesus Christ continues to act on your behalf today, forever. God, Jesus Christ will stand before God the Father on your behalf, forever. All the way into eternity, Jesus Christ will stand on your behalf because he gave his life for you. And if you've trusted in him as your Savior, he will never let you down. You see, this morning, his presence enables us to live forever. How about his plea? Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. I want to show you something here real quick as we get ready to wrap up this introduction. Matthew chapter 11. Notice his plea in this passage, verse 28. Jesus says, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This is Jesus Christ's plea here. Now, this is a great invitation for sinners to come to Jesus Christ. I think I've preached a message on this before. Pastors preach messages on this a lot. Evangelists will use this passage. Pleading with people to come to Jesus Christ because Jesus Christ has invited them to come. All are welcome with Him. You know, this morning I can say that. If you are a sinner in need of salvation, you're welcome with Jesus Christ. He's not going to reject you or turn you away. If you come to Him with a repentant heart seeking His salvation, He'll accept you and you can be saved today. All are welcome with God. Notice the two categories we're given here. It says, those that labor. Now that refers to hard work that causes fatigue. How many of you ever worked that hard, or maybe at your workplace, or even maybe on a weekend you take up a project and you work so hard, I mean, you're asleep before you even hit the bed. I mean, you're just exhausted. That's what this word is referring to, is just fatigue. I mean, just working to the point of you can't even carry yourself around anymore. I think it's referring here in this passage, people, not necessarily physically, now it may be the case physically, but also spiritually. How about those people that are tired of religious works? And some of you know what I'm talking about. Before you were saved, you were caught up in a religion that was just nothing but works. Do this, do that, do this, do that. Non-stop. Always some new rule. Always some regulation. And if you didn't follow that, then guess what? You're out of the church and you're not even saved anymore. Do, 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 do. Instead, Jesus Christ says, guess what? It's finished. It's all done. The work on Calvary is finished. You just need to come unto me and I'll give you rest. You trust in me and I'll provide that rest that is required. You know, this morning, for believers, we can become tired in this sinful world. How about tired of living around sinful people, whether you work or next door? You know, we can become tired of living for God. I'll be the first to tell you, serving God is tiresome sometimes. And what we need to do is give it to God and trust in Him. Here's the second one. It says, all those that are heavy laden. Now that word is different than the first word. And this word means to be overburdened, kind of referring to animals that they would put too much weight on as far as carrying materials. You know, there are some this morning, and there may be someone here this morning, you're carrying a burden that you didn't seek or that you didn't request. You may be carrying a burden that you didn't produce. You're loaded down with a problem that happened either years back in your life, and you did nothing to produce this, but now you're carrying it. You're living with it. You're having to deal with it. You're having to answer problems. Even if it's already gone, you're just dealing with it on the inside still. You know, that's what Jesus Christ is referring to here. Those that have been burdened and have been all this placed upon them, come to Jesus Christ, or go to Jesus Christ, and He'll give you rest. You see, He's sufficient to carry those burdens. You know, Jesus Christ will carry them for you, and He'll give you the peace that's required. You know, this morning, this is just the introduction. Over the next few weeks, we're going to look in detail, starting next week, at examples of what Jesus Christ is to us. But this morning, if you turn with me to Galatians chapter 2, here's our last passage, and I want to point something out to you. I guess if there is a key to living, you know, people like to talk about the key to this, the key to that. If there's a key to Christian living, as far as believers are concerned, it's probably right here, more than anywhere else. Galatians chapter 2, and this is the Apostle Paul in verse 20. He says here, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. You see, I guess this would be the key to successful living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Understanding that Jesus Christ not only died for you, but now He lives in you. And as Paul says here, he says, Christ liveth in me, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. You know, we to live by faith in Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus Christ provides eternal life, of course. We know that. But He also enables the believer to live a correct life before God. I'm going to go back to a verse that I asked you about earlier. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You believe that? I do. I believe this to be true. I believe Jesus Christ is able and willing to help each of you in a personal way. He's a personal God. He's a personal Savior. I believe He is able and willing to help you with your trials, your troubles, your tests, your problems, your decisions. I believe that Jesus Christ is able and willing to provide all that is necessary for you to live for God. Physical needs, if you need Him. Pray, go to Him. I believe He's able to provide those physical needs. How about emotional needs? God is able to take care of that as well. And then finally, the spiritual needs. You know, what's left? You thought about that? What's left? If Jesus Christ is sufficient, and He said, and the Bible says we can do all things through Him, what's left? What's left is for us to trust in Him. You know, as believers, it's easy to hold on. It's easy to keep back our faith and think, well, we know what the Bible says, but we just struggle with trusting in God. This morning, that's all that's left. If you're saved here this morning, there is no reason why. And I don't know what's going on in your life, and I don't say this to minimize your trials, because if they're in your life, they're real and they're difficult. But there is no reason why this morning, with God's strength, there's no reason why each believer should live with peace and contentment and happiness and joy and peace and strength and power that God will provide for them. I hope and pray that that's how you're living this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessings You've given to us. And I thank You for Your salvation. And I thank You for providing for us, Lord. And as we have this time of invitation, Lord, I pray if You've worked in anyone's heart here this morning in any way whatsoever, I pray that they'll seek You out and get things settled with You. Perhaps there's one here, Lord, that is just in need of salvation, of trusting You. I pray they'll get it settled today. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to keep your heads bowed and eyes closed for a few minutes. We're just going to have a short invitation. If God's worked in your heart in any way, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer. This morning, you can come down and pray down here at the altars if you'd like to, or just pray right where you are. If God has worked in your heart, maybe there's something in your life that you have just not been trusting Him in, and this morning you want to just put that trust in the Lord. I encourage you to do that. Maybe there's someone here that has questions concerning salvation. You're not sure of salvation, or you're not sure what it means. You can come down this morning and someone can show you from God's Word what salvation is. Whatever the case, please.